Good morning. Merry Christmas to all of you. Everybody ready for it? I only have a few more days, so you better start buckling down. But we're just thrilled this morning to be able to be here again to really come and celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is one of those times of year, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, but are a lot different than all the other holidays. There's a lot of emotion at Christmas time. There's those folks who just absolutely love everything about Christmas. They love to decorate the decorations, the lights, the music. They love the shop, the hustle, and the bustle of everybody out and about. They love the celebration of the birth of Christ. They love being here in church to do that. They just love Christmas. But there's also a group of people out there who, even if they love the Lord and they do want to celebrate the birth of Christ, they still struggle at this time of year, different than other holidays. It seems like those emotions creep up. Maybe you had a childhood in which you had some bad memories of Christmas. Maybe there's things in your life that Christmas reminds you of that are painful. There could be a lot of reasons. Maybe you just have a real giving heart, but yet when you open the checkbook, there's nothing there. And so you struggle with being able to do all that you'd like to do for people and to give all that you'd like to give. Or maybe you've lost someone and this is your first Christmas without them. So Christmas is one of those times of the year where there's good and there's bad and there's people that are thrilled and there's people who are sad all at the same time. But it's a time of year for all of us. Even though we have wonderful, maybe wonderful memories of our past Christmases, maybe it's a gift, maybe it's something that you've been blessed with at Christmas time that you always just want to be so thankful for. We all have those kind of situations, but as a person who has accepted Christ into their life, a Christ follower, this should be the greatest time of the year, one in which we continue to celebrate every day and every week hereafter, because it is a great celebration that we have. It's a special time. You see, without Christmas, there would be no Easter. And I know you're thinking, well, Easter's a ways off, and maybe we'd like to think toward Easter because maybe it would be warmer and start knowing the spring's about here. But you know what? If it wasn't for the fact that Jesus was born into this world, then he obviously couldn't have died and rose again, and we wouldn't have the celebration that we have at Easter. So Christmas is a great time, or should be a great time for all of us. Today we move into this fourth week of Advent. And as we prepare to light the Christ candle on Wednesday evening, I want to try this morning to help prepare us and our mind for that celebration of the birth of Christ. You see, in my thoughts this morning, the greatest gift that we can have, the greatest gift that gives us the gift of hope, gives us the gift of forgiveness, and that gives us the gift of love, is the gift of the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. That gift helps us and enables us to enjoy all the other gifts. It is the gift, according to the theologian Cousin Eddie, that just keeps on giving. And it's very appropriate for this message. And the fact that the presence of Christ is a gift that keeps on giving to us all the time. If you're here today and you don't really understand how this great gift works or why it is so great, because there's people a lot of times at Christmas time, and you may be visiting here today, and maybe you've come for whatever reason with family members, or for whatever reason you're here this morning, and maybe you don't understand the importance of this gift. I want us to take a look at a couple things before we get into some of the benefits of being in the presence of Christ. But before we do, would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you right now for your presence with us. I thank you, Father, that you love us and that because of your love, you've given us hope. You've forgiven us of our sins, all because you've been able to send your Son to this earth to live and to die. And we celebrate that this time of year, the gift of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at, the first passage I'd like to look at this morning is a passage that probably most of you have either memorized at some point in your life. It's a very verse that Donna just read to us, and thank you, Donna, for sharing that with us. It's John 3:16 and 17, because it kind of sets the groundwork for what I'm going to continue to speak about this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, his once and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So why did Jesus come? Why did he have to? And I think that's important for all of us to understand. And I'm sure that if you have been a Christ follower for years, you may understand this and think, well, why are we talking about that? But there are people who still today do not understand really why Jesus came. You see, he came to save sinners like you and me. If it wasn't for that, we'd be in big trouble. But Christ came for that specific reason. We're all sinners, and we all need to be saved, and that is why he came. Jesus also came to do his Father's will, which was to die, and then to rise again. Jesus came as light into the darkness of this world. And he came to demonstrate love, as Pastor Jeff spoke about last week. Sacrificial love. That kind of love that we can learn that Jesus demonstrated for all of us, so that we can continue to love others. Well, we know why he came, and I know that for some of you, maybe you don't think about things like this, and maybe it's just my mind the way it works, but at times I've tried through the years to think about this time of Christmas and maybe some of the different aspects of Christmas and focus in on different things. And one of the things that I was just thinking through this year was this whole thought of, why did Jesus come as a baby? I don't know if any of you have ever thought that before, but actually he was the Son of God. God was his Father. He could have come to earth in any form he wanted to come. He could have come riding a white horse. He could have come as an adult, ready to go right into his ministry and live those few years and die and accomplish the very same thing. So why did he come as a baby? Well, I think there's some reasons for that, and I don't know that I can prove those necessarily biblically, even though I think maybe you could in a roundabout way. But I think Jesus came as a baby because he came as a humble servant. That was from the very beginning. Just think about that. He was born in a dark, cold, smelly manger. That's where he was born. Humble. A humble servant. He came as a humble servant, but he also came into a family of Mary and Joseph. And even that had its own issues. Mary was very young. They were not married yet. So that also was a situation that caused they had to work through some of those issues. But they did. And Jesus was born into a family, and I think the reason for that is because families are important to God. They were then, and they are now. He wanted him to be part of a family, part of a loving family. He wanted it to be part of a family that had discipline and love, to understand what families were all about and what they would go through. I also think that he brought him into this world as a baby so that he could actually live and see what life on earth was about and be able to understand what people go through, understand the different phases of life and this life cycle, and to understand all that. You know, we can't pray to Jesus and say, well, we're going through a really hard time right now, and only if you could only understand, you didn't have to go through this. Well, yeah, he did. He did, and he does understand our life and what we go through. So once we have this understanding of why Jesus came, and we understand that we need a Savior, and we accept him into our life to walk alongside of us, and even that can be confusing to non-believers, of understanding that whole concept. But basically speaking, it's a matter of understanding that we have a need, and Jesus came to meet the need, and that is we need a Savior because we all are sinful. And thank God that Jesus came to do that. And once we have received him as our Savior, Once we have accepted Him into our heart, then we receive the greatest gift of all, and that is His presence in our life through the Holy Spirit. That is promised to us forever. As long as we're on this earth, we have Jesus in our life. But how does this presence affect us on a day-to-day basis? You say, well, yeah, I have the presence of Christ in my life. Well, what does that do for you? How does that help you? How does that help you get through the issues of life, the day-to-day walk that you're on? There's a number of ways, but I'm going to focus in on four of those this morning. And that is, He is our confidence, He is our companion, He is our counselor, and He is our comforter. And we're going to look at all four of those this morning because they are huge in our life. It's what gives us the strength to carry on and to get through the days. Let's first of all look at the first one. God is my confidence. Let's look at Ephesians 3:12. It says, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Think about that for a second. Being able to approach the Creator of the world, God, with confidence. That's pretty big. The fact that we humans can actually have confidence that we can call out to the Creator of the world and call upon Him. That is a huge statement and a huge relief for all of us. We need to accept that gift. This confidence is not temporary either. It's permanent. We're guaranteed to have this confidence. We can have the confidence in Christ forever. He will stick with us forever and ever. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God finishes what He starts. And if you've made that choice in your life to bring Him in, He started a work in you, and He will continue that work in you forever. And there may be steps you take that aren't the best. You may make bad choices. You may do things that you wish you wouldn't have done, but you can still have the confidence that He is there with you and that He will finish what He starts. Our life on earth is a process of growing, and we will fail. We all do. But we have confidence in Christ that He will remain at work in our life. You know, the best analogy that I could come up with for these four points is trying to relate them back maybe to my relationship as a father to my children. Obviously, Jesus' Father was in heaven, God, and Jesus is our Father. And so I tried to relate that back to my own relationship with my children. As their Father, like it is for Christ, they need to be able to have confidence in me, that I will love them and be there for them as their companion, their counselor, and their comforter. When we pray to our Heavenly Father, we can pray with confidence that He hears our prayers, that He answers our prayers. Sometimes it's not always the answer that we want to hear, but it is an answer because He's looking out for what's best for us. He knows what's best for us, just like we know what's best for our children. And so sometimes when we pray, we have to understand that God is answering prayers, even if it's not the way we like it. He still is answering the prayers. So we obviously need to have that confidence in Christ that He is going to be there for us. God is also my companion. We read in Ephesians 3:16 and 17, it says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Here we go again. It's that presence of Christ dwelling in my heart. In Hebrews 5, it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? God lives inside of each one of His children. Paul says in Ephesians 2:22, and in Him you two are being built together to become what? a dwelling in which God lives through His Holy Spirit. Knowing that Christ will be with you forever as your companion is great news, isn't it? For all of us, this time of year and every time of year, it is great to know that He will be there with us. He will never let us walk alone. You may feel alone. You may feel that you're facing the challenges of the day alone. But as a Christ follower, you are not. I am not. We have Jesus Christ in His presence with us all the time. I can't imagine what life would be like without that companion. I don't know how people can survive without that presence of Jesus Christ in their life to be their companion. Christ Himself felt this in the garden when he knew He was going to have to be separated from His companion, God, and that just absolutely broke His heart. But yet, He continued on with what He had to do. He knew why He was here, and even though He did not look forward to that temporary separation with Him and His Father and that companionship that they had, He went ahead and did what He was supposed to do. Again, as I looked at this part, and I compared it to my relationship with my children, I understand that they need a companion throughout life. Not to control them or manipulate them, but so that they should have no need to worry or to be lonely. I need to be there to calm them down when they need to be calmed down, and to cheer them up when they need to be cheered up. For those who are struggling here this morning, and I'm sure there are, the people I talked about in the beginning, this time of year, this whole thought of Jesus being our companion is huge, because He's there for you and you won't have to face it alone. When you're worried, remember God is your companion, and the benefit of having God as your companion is that His presence can calm you down and cheer you up. And the times when you're lonely, loneliness happens. It happens in all different sizes and all different shapes. You might be lonely because you're in a new place, or you go off to school. It's a new situation that you're not comfortable with. It could happen through death of someone that you loved has left you lonely, or maybe divorce has left you lonely. There's a lot of reasons that people are lonely today. But we need to understand again that no matter what we're going through in life, we don't have to be lonely because we have God right there with us all the time. And He will help you through any one of those situations. So does this presence in Christ defeat loneliness? I think it can. I think the presence of Christ, if you allow Him to, can defeat loneliness and worry. He tells us that in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Remember what He said? Christ will never leave or forsake you. So no matter how bad it is, no matter what you're going through today, He will never leave or forsake you. So if you're worried, let Him calm you down. And if you're lonely, let Him cheer you up. He promised that He would continue to work in each of our lives throughout this life process. The next way that Christ's presence is with us is as our counselor. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let your temptations, He will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under those temptations." We at all times, all of us, share in some common problems in life. And we find ourselves in need of Christ's presence. Even though we always need Christ's presence, there's times where we feel we need it even in a greater way. And we need Him as our counselor. The good news is that there are common solutions to this as well. That God has promised to us that He hears us, that He will not tempt us beyond what we can handle, and that He will develop an exit plan, a help to, in order for you to get through this situation and out of this situation. He promises He will deliver that plan to you. an exit route. You see, Jesus was a perfect counselor. And if we look back for a moment at the life of Jesus, we look how he lived his life on earth and how many people he had to counsel, it's an encouragement for all of those who have to spend time counseling with people, looking to Jesus as our example. Jesus knew how to ask questions in a way that would provoke conviction or bring enlightenment. Jesus knew when to end a counseling session and how to direct a confrontation to the real issues. Jesus never lost his temper or became impatient. He never acted a part of his Father or inconsistent with what Scripture had taught. Jesus never minimized the problem. He was patient, he was kind, he was direct and to the point. Jesus gently led people toward increased faith and growth and never condemned those who looked to him for help. Jesus' goal was always to increase the understanding of his listeners and to enlighten them in truth. Jesus used Scripture to masterfully and apply them appropriately. And finally, Jesus utilized examples and illustrations that people could relate to. Jesus was an outstanding counselor. And so you can have confidence in his track record. You can have confidence when you call out to him to be your counselor, that he knows how to do that. And he knows how to help us. He knows how to give us exactly what we need and when we need it. And as I compared this counselor to my relationship with my children, once again, I understand there's times in my life that I need to give counsel to my children. And as they become adults, it's more like when they ask you for counsel, you give them counsel. I need to be a good listening ear. And when I see temptation coming into their way, that I'm able to be there. And through the experiences that God's given me, through sometimes the school of hard knocks, I try to help my children to make good decisions through those tough times and hope that they'll take it under consideration. But we also have to realize that they may have to just go through it on their own. They may have to learn the hard way, just like we did. And we need to still be there for them to help them through it. And one way we can do that is our final way, and that is as a comforter. You see, Christ is our comforter. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." John 14:27 tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When we are discouraged, in which we often are, and when we feel defeated, which we often do, no one really cares more for us than God, than Christ. And this is the time that we have to recognize his presence in our life as our comforter and call upon him to comfort us. He's ready, willing, and able. He wants to do that. Isaiah 40:31, it's not on the screen, but I want to share it with you. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I need to be there for my children as their comforter in times of pain, in times of hurt, not to criticize, but to comfort. They need to know and have confidence that I will be there to comfort them as long as they need it. We all need to be confident in God that he will be there for us as our comforter. So no matter what is going on in your life today, whether it's full of joy for the season or whether it's struggling with whatever it may be, we understand that we can call out the name of Jesus because he is in our presence. He is with us. He is side by side with us going through life together. And he is our comforter. And we need to use him to help comfort us. So as we review for just a moment here before we close, when I am worried, God is my confidence. He calms me down. When I am lonely, God is my companion. He cheers me up. And when I am tempted, God is my counselor. He helps me out. And when I am discouraged, God is my comforter. He sees me through. Because we are this morning in the presence of Christ, we can love like Christ loved. We have been given forgiveness, and we have the hope of life eternal with Him. So we can face this Christmas season with joy in our hearts, even if life is hard, and even if we just have this feeling that I don't have the Christmas spirit. We need to have the Christmas spirit as long as it's focused on the real meaning of Christmas, and that is the presence of Jesus Christ through the birth of baby Jesus and His life that He lived on this earth and His death and His resurrection. As a Christ follower, we need to celebrate this week His birth. We need to celebrate it because we need to celebrate this presence of Jesus. It should be something to celebrate, shouldn't it, for all of us? This present of Christ's presence is the best gift that we could ever receive. It is truly the gift that keeps on giving. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank You so much for this gift. So much for Your presence, so much the fact that, Lord, You are with us, not just at Christmas time, but every day, all the time. That as a Christ follower, You have committed Yourself, and we can have confidence in the fact that You will be with us, counseling us, comforting us, helping us through life. So, Lord, I pray that none of us will ever get so discouraged that we forget that, that we forget the greatest gift of all, that You are here with us. And as we come together this week as friends and family and as a church to celebrate Your birth, Lord God, I pray that we will feel Your presence in our life. In Your name I pray. Amen.